I'm still on a podcast break. I've been to the Netherlands and had a really wonderful time with my family. And I'm back in Palestine and trying to get back used to living here. It's kind of hot and dusty, and the kids still have holidays until the end of August. So I'm not really that much free to record new podcast episodes, which I definitely will be doing later on in the season. But I have this one special episode because I'm sitting with my colleague Salim in Singer Cafe, and we've just been discussing the October program that we're organizing. So Salim and I studied together at the Bethlehem Bible College. We are qualified tour guides, but still not licensed because the Ministry of Tourism still didn't offer us to do the exam. That has been an ongoing bad joke, I would say, for the last year. But we are so ready to start working, and we have been doing some tour guiding over the past month. And in October, we have this fantastic program that we are preparing for everybody who wants to see Palestine and get to know the history, the heritage, and the daily life and the daily reality of life under military occupation. So I was just going to go through this program with Salim so that you get an idea of what to expect, and you may hopefully decide to register and visit us in October. And the program starts on Monday, the 3rd of October, and it includes a lot of beautiful visits and a day of olive picking. So Salim, what can people expect if they are coming? We said we want to have maximum 15 people. We have a couple of people who have registered so far, and we have a lot of people who said that they are interested. So do not be too late with registering, otherwise you lose your spot. Then they come on their own. They fly by themselves from wherever in the world they are. They arrive to Palestine either from what we call El Lud Airport, but what is officially known as Ben Gurion Airport, or they come from Jordan, from Amman. They reach to Beit Sahur by themselves. We can help them to get there if they need transfer. And then we will meet in a nice family hotel here in Beit Sahur close to Bethlehem. And then what happens then?
And then we start, of course, you know, with the welcome introduction. And since many people will be joining us from different places in the world with also knowledge of Palestine and its history and culture in a different, like different levels, so we thought of starting with an introduction about Palestine. So when we start our tour, there's a lot of complexity in everything that we're going to see. And, you know, with this introduction, we'll help them a lot more to understand things, not to be, you know, in a shock of what's going on or what's this and that, and explain this on the way, because there's so much to explain, so much to tell about, you know, the culture, the history, the beauty, even the nature and everything, that it's, you know, it's good to have this introduction.
Yeah, we need to be a bit on the same page and to understand also some of the terminology that we use here to explain things. So we'll do that. And of course, there is dinner, and then we may have a nice drink in a local bar. We get a good night of sleep. And then the next day is a Tuesday. And then we need to discover the area around us. So what are we going to do?
So exactly, we're in Bethlehem, Beit Sahur, so we're going to start there. Bethlehem, Beit Sahur, of course, in Beit Sahur, we're going to see the shepherd's fields, and then go around like Selman's Pool. We're going to see Irtas, and then also, you and I, it seems like we both really like Battir, and it seems like we're both debating on who's going to talk about Battir, but, you know, you're going to go for it, because, I mean, Battir is beautiful. I mean, it's nature, it's history, it's people. I mean, the people there are just amazing to interact with.
And Battir is not for no reason UNESCO World Heritage. And there is a beautiful valley where we can see how people for the last at least 2,000 years have been using this irrigation system to work on the land. And until today, we can still see the farmers at work there. And we know a very nice place there where we can have a traditional Palestinian lunch. So we'll do that for a break. And after that...
And of course, talking about nature and beauty of it, that should include a hike there. So definitely we're going to go through a hike, go to Beit Jela, which is, you know, the other city close to Bethlehem. It's on the western side of Bethlehem. And we're going to end up at the exact right moment to relax in a restaurant where we're going to see one of the most beautiful views of the sunset. Well, that's day one.
Yeah, I actually was at that restaurant yesterday, and you see the sun setting over the Maghroor Valley. And it is the most beautiful view that you can have here. So that is an amazing end of the first day. We'll go back to the hotel, have a nice rest, and then the next day we were planning to go to Jerusalem, but we just figured out that the 5th of October is actually Yom Kippur, which means that no cars allowed on the Israeli side of the separation wall. So we're going to swap that around, and on that day, instead, we will explore Bethlehem more, and we'll get more into the details of Bethlehem.
If the first day was nice with nature, the second day, it will be very informative. There will be a lot of educational and knowledge that will be shared, since we're going to be going to refugee camp, to the Haitian refugee camp, one of the three camps in Bethlehem, the biggest one. But as well, we're going to visit like the Waldorf Hotel, which, I mean, the magnificent way of how they tell about the whole occupation, the colonization, the whole situation of what's going on, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, in a sense, in a very artistic way. So definitely going to go visit that.
And we are going to see the graffitis that Banksy did, because the Waldorf Hotel was established by the graffiti artist Banksy. And several of the graffitis that he did are still available to see around the area there on the separation wall and on other places. And it is marketed as the hotel with the worst view in the world. If you've listened to the podcast episode, you know more about it. Otherwise, go back a few months and listen to that episode, an interview with the manager of the hotel. Before we end, we can visit the Museum of Natural History and meet maybe with Dr. Mazen Koumsi, if he is in town, because the man is always busy and traveling. But he is a professor that has a lot of knowledge both about nature and biodiversity, but also the political reality. And then the next day, we will go to Jerusalem.
Yes. And in Jerusalem, I mean, if we Jerusalem itself, if you want to go there and stay, I mean, it'll take us like 3 or 4 days, or even maybe like a whole week. Because Jerusalem is full of history. Every single road we're going to take in the old city and even outside of the old city has so much to tell about the history, about faith, religion, people, the empires that fell and built and infected Jerusalem and all its histories. So it's full of it. But unfortunately, we're going to put all that in one day. And in that one day, we're going to have a good long walk in the old city where we're going to visit Al-Haram al-Sharif and we're going to visit the Holy Sepulchre Church. And visit even the neighborhoods of the old city, which they are full of stories that tell you about the past, but they're not empty. There are people there still from that past, exist until today, that their stories are still alive until today. Like the Moroccan neighborhood, or like the African neighborhood, or like, what else, if you remember?
Yeah, I would love to take the people to the Gypsy community, because there is not much known about that. To take them a little bit on a exploration of food, because that's also part. And then, of course, there is the Via Dolorosa that people are taking as pilgrims to walk the same path as Jesus did through the city. So part of that we can also explore. So we can make a mixture between what the usual tourist gets to see and what we want people to see in Jerusalem. So it's a full day, including some time to do some shopping, because also that's important. Most of the groups that come, they come in big groups with a tour guide. They rush through the city and they don't get the chance to see anything. And we want to give people time also to really explore the city very well. So that's Jerusalem. And then after that, we are going to start moving away from the family guest house where we have been staying for a couple of days in Beit Sahur. And we're going to go on a road trip. And the road trip first takes us towards the east, towards Jericho. But on the way to Jericho, we're going to see a lot of other things. You hear the church bells?
Yes.
Yes, we are in Beit Sahur and there are a lot of churches around us. In a little bit, we may also hear the sound of the mosque. It is a town that is very mixed here. So what are we seeing on that day, on Friday, when we go towards Jericho?
So towards Jericho, since Jericho is in the wilderness, Jerusalem wilderness, so basically driving through there, one of the beauty of that nature of there is the monasteries that we're going to see. We're going to pass by some monasteries like Theodosius Monastery, but also stop at one of them, Mar Saba Monastery, which is one of the oldest monasteries existing until today, which actually monks still live there until today and have an opportunity to go inside. Unfortunately, the ladies won't. The men are the only ones who could go inside and see it. But even from outside, everyone will enjoy even the beauty of how it's built. We're going to talk about its history. and not just the history of the monks itself, but even the influence of Marsaba and the monks that lived there, like John the Damascus and others who had influence in part of the history of Palestine, especially the Christian part in the early Christian church there.
And it's beautiful because it seems like the monastery is hanging on the cliff. So it's built on the rocks and it has this amazing feeling as if the monastery is part of the cliff of the rocks. So I think most foreigners have never seen anything quite like it. And we're going to see another monastery that is a little bit similar, right?
It's actually similar, even the way you described it. Like it's on the rocks, which is called St. George Kuziba Monastery or Wadi Kild Monastery, which we're going to go see. It's in a valley. We're going to see also from the top part, the monastery. We're going to talk about it and its beauty, its history. It's also sometimes, let's not forget, I mean, those monasteries, they've been here since the 4th century. So not just its history, but also there is a lot of the local tradition and cultural stories that relate to that place as well. So also we're going to get engaged in that part. We're going to tell stories of the local people and what they heard about this place and what they believe about this place.
There are a lot of local stories to be told over so much centuries of history. Because when we're going down that road that we're talking about, we're also talking about a road that is mentioned in the Bible, for example. So we're having some biblical stories. There is the story of the Good Samaritan, which was a parable that Jesus told. It didn't really happen, but a lot of people placed it in this area. And then as we pass down towards Jericho, we will pass by Nabi Musa, which is a Muslim shrine. So we'll have stories that are related to the Christian history in the land and related to the Muslim history in the land. And then as we go to Jericho, we are reaching the lowest part of the country, and the Dead Sea is the lowest in the world. And we're going to be in the city that is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. We will give people the opportunity to see some of the archaeological remains of that, but also the life in Jericho today, because it is a kind of a hustle and bustle in the city center. And then there is a very beautiful site that we are going to visit that has recently been renovated. And I did a podcast episode about that. And that is
Hisham's Palace. So yeah, Hisham's Palace, and it's absolutely beautiful. The most beautiful thing about Hisham's Palace, which is very well promoted about it, is that there's a big bath, Islamic period bath. The mosaics there, the color of the mosaics, the mixture of the mosaic there, the size of it makes it very unique. It's intact, and its colors and its beauty, in at least I know in the Levant area, if not in even larger areas discovered. So that's one of the things that is unique about Hisham Palace.
Yeah, it's an absolute beauty. And we're going to spend a good hour there so people have enough time to really discover that. And then we're going to head to the guest house where we will stay that night. It's a very nice place. It's called Auberge Inn. And this is kind of a wordplay on aubergine because they grow aubergines, which is eggplants, in their garden. And you know, auberge is French for guest house, and inn is English for guest house, so aubergine. And we will be staying there and have a meal that is called zarb. What is zarb?
Oh, zarb. Okay, let me explain it. Basically is digging a hole, putting the meat inside the hole, and then closing the hole. Well, let me explain more. And then basically, so we make this fire, and the coal, when the fire turns into this coal, where you put the meat in a way that, I mean, it's hard to just, you have to really visualize it, how it's put on trays, pulled down into the hole, and then the hole must be covered totally with no air coming in or out, and it stays there for a couple hours. So you could imagine the moist of the meat and how like it's delicious. The smell of it is just absolutely fantastic. Of course, they take it out of the hole, served with rice and more vegetables that are inside with the chicken. And that's one of the very traditional food that we have.
And I have to add that if you are a vegetarian or a vegan, we will also make sure that there are vegan options, vegetarian options for you, because Palestine traditionally has a lot of vegetarian meals. So it is very easy to make meals without meat. So don't worry about that. We're going to spend a beautiful evening at that guest house. It's very relaxing with the garden. And then next day, optionally, if you want, you can take the cable cars, also called the téléphérique here. And you can go up on Mount Kuruntul, which is the Mount of Temptation, where there is another monastery that you could visit. And this is optional. You can do that on your own if you want, or you can take the morning just to relax. And after that, we are going to one of the world wonders, which is the Dead Sea. It is about 350 meters below sea level. It is therefore the lowest point on Earth. It is one of the saltiest lakes, not the saltiest one, by the way. There are more salty lakes where the salinity is higher on the African continent, but it's very salty. And what does that mean?
It means you could float. That's as simple as it is. You cannot drown. You will always float. And that's one of the experiences that people always love to do when they go to the Dead Sea, is to experience that I could just float. Yes, you can. So definitely to remind you to bring actually a book or something you could read, because definitely this is one of the pictures people love to do, is you can read and float in the middle of the sea and just enjoy as long as you want. Don't worry.
So bring your bathing suit and make sure that you have a towel so that you are all set for a couple of hours at the Dead Sea. And after the Dead Sea, we're going to continue to the West, and we will end up in your hometown, in Ubud. And can you tell us a little bit about what we will be doing and where we will be staying in Ubud?
Okay, so yes, we're going to be in Ubud, which is a very small town. So imagine people there are really very hospitable. I mean, everywhere you're going to see that. But the fun part, and why I said that, is because you're going to be hosted by those families. You're going to stay two nights with the local families. So it's not just a hotel or a guest house. And get to engage with the family, get to know them, get to build this relationship, know this family, know their kids, have a good time, take a walk with them in Ubud. There's a nice park, you know, during the summer, we have a park in Ubud, and since it's the only park, it's outdoor park, so almost the whole village. So definitely expect you're going to see your friends there with their host families there as well, having a drink or, you know, playing around and just enjoying the time there.
And then on Sunday, we're doing a very special experience, something that Palestinians look towards all year round, because in October is the olive harvest month. And you told me that while here, more in the southern part of Palestine, we harvest towards the end of October, Ubud is more to the northern part and you harvest earlier in October. So we're going to be able to help one day harvesting olives.
Yes, indeed. So you're going to be considered as a local Palestinian farmer and pick olives. So you're going to enjoy that time where early in the morning, you're just picking those olives with everyone else and, you know, just talking. Of course, I'm sure, you know, my dad is going to bring his radio and he's going to turn it really loud. And you're going to listen to Fairuz in the morning while we're picking the olives, because this is how we do it. And while we're picking the olives, you know, everyone will have their job to do. Going up the ladders and picking them, talking all the time until noon comes, which, of course, that's my favorite part of the whole olive picking time, where my dad, you know, always loves to prepare this big family meal. It's kind of like a brunch. So we're going to have his breakfast, but more later during the day, where, you know, he always likes to make, like, bring eggs and olives. If you know about Palestinian breakfast and with his food, the labneh, the hummus, you know, as I said, the eggs and like tuna and whatever, like, you could imagine as a breakfast, especially a Palestinian breakfast, you could find there. But imagine it, you're sitting under an olive tree with a nice breeze on the ground. We're all sitting in a big circle or two circles and just having that. And I'm sure my brother, if he's with us, or at least some of us, what we'll do is, you cannot have that breakfast without a tea that is made from there. So it's basically, you know, you're burning the wood, making that tea, so you could have that smell that is very different than just the normal tea that we drink. And so, like, you know, that moment is absolutely amazing. Of course, we're going to end that day with, you know, packing all the stuff and as well these big bags of full of olives. And, you know, if those olives, since we're having them in bags, we're not going to just put them away. But what we'll have the opportunity to do is go to an olive presser and even look at the process. And this is one of the things. When we go to the olive presser, we're not going to only have a chance to just see the process, but look at the community, how people act there. Because it's olives, as I said, and you mentioned, and you said in some of your podcasts, harvesting and the moment, since the moment, you know, preparing before, during, and after, the whole thing is a big family thing. It's one of the moments the family together connects back to its own land, to the properties that we have. and connect with the trees that we planted years ago and took care of. And now we're having what, you know, we're taking back from it. And then again, what we're taking is an olive and olive oil. And this is something very important for us. So going to the olive presser and looking at those people, the families gathering, waiting their turn, bringing their bags, putting them, piling inside, smelling the pressed olive that you're going to be smelling all that time and seeing the process. And then at the end, like the end of part where the olive is, you know, coming out, the olive oil. And you can see the family when it's, you know, the family's turn and the olive oil comes out, they bring bread and they do a prayer or something because it's the first harvest blessing and, you know, they're thanking God for it. And then they eat it. And sometimes they give other people to share it because they're very happy about it. So the whole process, you're going to see it. Yeah. People are going to see that. The whole thing, the family, the gathering, the culture. So that's an experience people are going to enjoy.
I haven't missed an olive harvest since my first trip to Palestine in 2006. So yeah, for sure. This is going to be my 16th olive harvest. So we'll teach them a little bit about how to do it because you don't just pick the olive tree olive by olive. You milk the tree, right? Yes. Yeah, we're going to milk the tree. The next day, we're going to discover a little bit more of Abud on a short morning hike and maybe climb up the hill and see the sun coming up. And then we will continue to a place that some people may have heard of because it became a bit famous for the beer, the first beer brewery. But this village, Taiba, has more to offer than just a visit to the beer brewery, right?
Very true. I mean, the view from Taipei, one of the things that I saw is amazing. Taipei is on the edge of, again, the Jerusalem wilderness. So you're going to see from that point of view, another view of the wilderness and Dead Sea and Jordan, which is beautiful. There's one of the very oldest monasteries there, St. George. Oh yeah, by the way, you're going to hear a lot of St. George's monasteries or churches. So we're going to tell you more about that, but it's one of the oldest there. We're going to have a chance also to go to the beer brewery, one of the best beer breweries, and many people probably, yes, as you said, know it. There's a whiskey distillery there as well, and the old city, we're going to go see it. We're going to have a good traditional meal there, so we're going to have a good time in Tibet.
And then we will take the last hours of the day to drive up north to visit what I think is the most beautiful city of the West Bank, at least. If we're talking about Palestine, we're talking about too many cities to compare. But when we're talking about the West Bank, I think Nablus is beautiful. So Nablus is the place where we will spend a night. We're going to spend it in a beautiful hotel, right?
A very beautiful hotel, which if you know the word Khan, the Khan is basically, it's kind of a very old style of, you know, caravans passing by and stopping at them so they could, you know, rest for a bit until they continue their journey. And that's the word Khan until today. So that Khan, which the hostel that we're going to be at, it used to be a Khan. Now it's a hostel. It's absolutely beautiful. It's actually in the old city of Nablus. So that's one of the pluses that we're going to have because from there, we could easily leave at night and walk in the old city of Nablus, especially because when we're talking about old city of Nablus, it's packed of people. We're probably going to, you know, when we're walking, you're going to see so many people, shops, people talking here and there, people trying to sell. And, you know, when we sell things, we scream people, you know, it's like, Yella Bandora, or, you know, it's like the shop is like, you know, three shirts for 100 shekels. But walking at night, we're going to see the calmness and the beauty of the old city of Nablus. So that's one of the nicest thing about the hotel. It's very close to the old city.
So in the evening, we will see it when it is calm and quiet. But the next day, we will see it with all the hustle and bustle. We will be able to see one of the beautiful Ottoman clock towers that were built under the last Sultan who celebrated his 25th anniversary, Sultan Abdul Hamid. Yep. And there were several of those clock towers. And we will also see one in Jaffa when we go to Jaffa. There was one in Jerusalem, but then the British, they removed it. And in Safat and in Haifa and in Akka. So that's one of the landmarks, I would say, of Nablus. We will be able to maybe go into one of the old mosques. We will see the spices shop and have a smell and a taste of the spices. There is the old Turkish bathhouse. And there is so much to see. But what is it that we are going to definitely taste in Nablus?
Knafe. Because knafe started in Nablus. It's actually called Nablusian knafe. So if we're going to have knafe, which is, if no one has experienced it before, it's a sweet cheese, hot sweet cheese. Or I don't know if you know how to explain it, because it's one of the things, it's not about explaining, it's about the taste of it, that no one could resist that good taste of it, the sweetness of it.
Yeah, we can probably see how they make it because they do it on the street. And then when it's ready, there is always, every half an hour, there's a fresh batch of knafe. So we will eat that. And then later in the day, we say goodbye to Nablus City, and we're going to visit a very special place with very special people on the mountain of Gerizim.
Yes. And so in Nablus area, which if we look at the history, especially if we use the Bible, we know that, you know, there is a division in some part where there is a people group called Samaritans. Samaritans still exist until today. They're a very small minority group, but they live in the region of Nablus, which we're going to go and visit them and visit their high priest, hopefully, and have a time to talk with them and listen to their story, listen to their part of their role in the country and their role in the region and their faith, because those Samaritans only exist in Nablus and in a few other areas and nowhere else in the world. So this is an opportunity. You're going to hear from a people group that they're very minority, but they have a long history and a very rich history to share.
Yeah, because they state that the temple, the real temple, is not in Jerusalem, but is on the Mount of Gerizim, or was on the Mount of Gerizim. They have very strong ties to the Jewish history, but in the same time, they are very closely related to the Palestinians, and they have different identity cards. They have Israeli citizenship, they have Palestinian ID cards, and they have still Jordanian passports. So we're going to find out all about the Samaritans. So then after the visit there, we're going to head back to Bethlehem, back to the same hotel where we stayed in the beginning in Beit Sahur, and we're going to take a rest. And the next day is a free day. So you can decide whatever you wanted to do. If you had friends you wanted to visit, special places that you wanted to go, just take a break, go shopping. Or if you want to go back to Jerusalem, because you said you need more than one day for Jerusalem, you could definitely do that. And if you've heard the podcast episode with Sacred Cuisine, the food tour in Jerusalem, and you got interested to do that, that's an option. I told Izzedine to keep that day free for some time in his schedule so that if people wanted to go, they could definitely do that. And then we have our last day of this program, and we are going out of the West Bank, and we're going to a part of Palestine, historic Palestine, that is on the Mediterranean coast. We have been thinking about taking trips to other parts, but, you know, traveling a lot and far distances makes it also more expensive. And then there are a lot of places that have been sort of transformed so much by the new Israeli rule that they do not give us that really authentic feeling of Palestine anymore. But Jaffa, where we are going, is a place with a very long history, very long tradition. And even though it is now inhabited partially by Jewish Israelis, there are still neighborhoods that are inhabited by Palestinians. And so what we want to do there is to give you a touch of both the history and tradition of that place, and also to see what happened after 1948, after Israel became into being as a state and houses of Palestinians have been taken over by Jewish Israeli inhabitants. But since it's also on the coast, we also have an opportunity to dip into the Mediterranean and to just really enjoy the view and have a beautiful afternoon there. It will be our last day. So after that, we are going to have to say goodbye. But if you wanted to stay beyond this program, of course, you can do that. If you need any help in booking some extra accommodation or want to have some advice and tips for other tours, we are available to help you with that. I think that we have tried to really convince you to come to Palestine this October. If this October doesn't work for you, but you do want to visit Palestine with Salim and myself, just reach out to us, because we are hoping to be able to do this a few times a year, right?
True, yes. I mean, yeah, we wanted to give the experience of the olive picking and the olive harvest. That's why we picked October. But during the year, there are festivals and celebrations and opportunities that they have their uniqueness on the trip. So that's why we're not going to only do it once a year, but we're going to do this multiple times a year.
Yeah. And if we know from you that, oh, we would like to come, but we'd love to do that in springtime. And if we have a small group, we will start announcing it so that more people can sign up. We're flexible. We're in Palestine. You have to be flexible here. So if you want to have more information on how much this is going to cost, on how you're going to book and make sure that you are registered for the trip to make your reservation, on how you're going to come here, all that information is on our website or on the website of the podcast. It's storiesfrompalestine.info. And I will post a link in the show notes that takes you directly to the right page on that website. So go there. Don't hesitate, sign up, and we will promise you that we will give you an unforgettable experience.
True. I just want to add, if you know also someone that definitely has been talking of getting a chance to find out and how to come here and what to do, please also share that to them.